Hi, everyone, and welcome to Advisor Edge, the GVA Way, a podcast series created for financial advisors navigating the complexities of transitioning from a traditional firm or considering branching out independently for the first time. This podcast will deliver clarity and expertise by answering common questions and guiding you through the services and support GVA provides during the transition process. From establishing your brand to building a client base and managing compliance, we'll provide the insights and resources you need to thrive in your new venture. GVA is a full-service, technology-driven RIA. We are 170 advisors strong across 18 states. We provide asset management, compliance, billing, compensation, insurance, brokerage, 401k services, technology, and more to our advisors. And everything we do is scalable for us and you as we place technology in the forefront. Perhaps what we hold to the highest regard is our dedication to the end user, our clients. We like to say we are a family of like-minded individuals who hold our clients' financial interests above our own. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the GVA Way. Well, Eric, welcome back to our number six podcast here with GVA Asset Management. And we are very happy to have you back. Once again, we have Eric Parnell, our Chief Market Strategist here at GVA. And this past month, we had the privilege of talking about the operational components of the platform. We went into details on what that looks like. And just a quick recap on some of the items we talked about was really that hands-on experience and the start-to-finish approach that the asset management team takes in order to really assist the advisor with bringing on that client. And that's anything from understanding where that risk score comes in, with helping them with the fact finder, to comparing it to models. And one of the things that I feel like we didn't really touch on that I want to make sure we discuss here before we move into more of the weeds of the models is that Salesforce component, right? So the start to finish approach and how your team is best handling that.
Yeah, no, I tell you, it's the integration is really helpful. And the feedback we get from a lot of advisors is that it really saves time because, you know, when you're running an advisory business, those middle office, those back office, those paperwork items, they take up so much time, and they take away time that an advisor can be spending, you know, interacting with their clients and growing their business. So, you know, and it really starts from the account opening process where and the account transition process where our team, once you make the decision to join GVA, our team steps in. We'll help out with the paperwork, providing that to the client so that they can sign the paperwork, having to go through the risk questionnaire so that we get guidance in terms of when an account's coming over, how do we best map it from how it's allocated today to a GVA asset management solution that we're providing. Once the accounts are over, we're taking a look at those accounts on a variety of different levels. You know, restricted positions, positions that the client doesn't want to have sold. Maybe they have low-cost basis securities. So we take a look at non-qualified accounts from a tax management perspective because we don't want to leave clients with a tax bill on the transition. All of those different types of elements from start to finish so that when the advisor enters into the transition process, we're taking care of virtually everything behind the scenes and the advisor can oversee it along the way.
Exactly, right. And that all-in pricing makes it super easy with all the trading and the different positions that we're going to be getting in and out of within those models.
Exactly. And then once the accounts are on board, if there's anything they need to have done with the accounts, they submit a request through Salesforce, we take care of the rest.
Absolutely. So, yep, start to finish. So digital fact finder into risk questionnaire comes back in. Orion Risk Intelligence is what we're using today to compare those statements to each other.
Exactly.
Assuming everything lines up, DocuSigns go out the door, funds come in, any restrictions are taken care of, and then move monies are put into place and the team's handling it.
That's exactly it. And our priority is to try to make it as easy and as seamless as possible for the advisors because that's where we think we can add value.
Absolutely. All right. So now that we got the operations piece out of the way, let's dive a little bit more into the thought process behind the models. I did print out a couple fact sheets, right? So we do fact sheets from Orion's performance reporting engine. And they're fully customized based on the models that we have in place today. We also have performance numbers for each one of the models as they continue to evolve, right? We're updating that really on a monthly basis at this point. And then we publish them, I think, quarterly. And then annually, we're getting them reviewed by a third party to make sure that our performance numbers are lining up properly. Yeah. But the thought process behind it, right? So it's not all Eric Parnell.
No. No, definitely not. No, I mean this. I'm a part of it, but it really is a testament to the team that we have on the asset management side that makes it all work. So, you know, you see me here in terms of our conversation today, but you know, there is a whole team behind what we do in order to make everything work. So that includes, you know, Kayla Frenchman and Evan Coffey on the analyst side. We have Nick D'Alessandro on the trading side, as well as a number of people supporting the operations side in terms of the paperwork and the back office. We have our compliance team that helps out on the legal side. You know, we have Dana Heiserman and that helps out on the Salesforce side. So, I mean, there are a number of people that are filling a variety of different roles that help make the whole asset management machine work. And it's really a testament to all of them that enables me to sit here with you today.
Yeah, of course. So when we get together on a monthly basis and we have the investment committee meetings, right? We're meeting with eight individuals that are part of the GVA network, mm-hmm. which is great, right? Yeah. Something that we introduced about a year ago.
Yes.
In those meetings, talking through what? Can we give a little bit of a teaser out there on what we're talking about in those investment committee meetings and then how that translates into the select advisor group call that we're holding with the advisors and kind of taking all that, bundling it up and saying it somehow makes its way into the model.
Exactly.
Right? And how does that process work?
No, that's a great question because really the asset management team is here to serve. And, you know, our role is multifaceted. You know, we may have ideas, things that we're researching, things that we have identified to be priorities in the asset management process, but we need to make sure that we're getting it right. And the first step of that comes with the investment board, because the work and the research that we're doing, when we meet with the investment board, that includes executives at GVA like yourself. It includes advisors, key advisors who are part of our network. It includes senior investment professionals, people who've worked in the industry for years and have done asset allocation modeling who can look at it from the outside as a quality control, as an oversight, all taking a look at the work that the asset management team is doing and identifying, is the work that we're putting together and running the models really achieving the goals that we're seeking to accomplish, not only from an organization standpoint at GVA, but also serving our advisors and their end clients? Because at the end of the day, we need to be providing an investment solution on the asset management side that is helping clients achieve their goals. If the solutions aren't helping achieve those goals, then we're not doing our job and we need to go back to the drawing board.
Got it. Yeah. Absolutely.
So once, you know, once we meet with the investment board, that's kind of the first layer of approval. It right. needs to go before the investment board. And it is not uncommon for the asset management team to present something to the investment board and say, no, you need to go back with this, or this is not going to work. So it is really it's a scrutinizing process, and it really challenges the asset management team to bring our best game to the investment board.
And I think a key differentiator, I didn't mean to cut you off there, I think a key differentiator and one that I'm hearing more and more as the program continues to grow is, number one, hey, Eric listens to me. Eric and the team are listening to me. They truly understand what we're looking for and how we can accomplish that together, right? And that's the big thing about the RIA space, is that collaborative nature. It's being part of this network. It's plugging in. Hey, if you need the models, great. We can do a portion of your book with those models, or we can do the whole book or none, right? Or maybe you're just looking for some updates. But the idea behind that collaboration piece, right? And that drove the concept of the select advisor group call. So even though there's folks sitting in the investment committee, myself included, right. listening to what we're going to be doing, a lot of that feedback that goes into what we're picking from the individual equity or ETFs or even a mutual fund for that matter in these portfolios is kind of coming from the ground up, right? I mean, that I would think that's one way to look at it.
It really is. I mean, because we meet with the investment board in the morning on a given second Tuesday of every month, and then we meet with the advisors in the afternoon, the select advisors, the advisors that are using our platform. And I really think about the evolution of the asset management platform that we have, and it is really a result and a testament to the advisors who are using our platform, who have been willing and put themselves forward to provide us with feedback and guidance yeah. in terms of what they need in order to best serve their clients. And that's been one of the things that we've really enjoyed on the asset management side, is the collaboration that we have with advisors. Being able to talk with them and say, okay, this is what we're developing, but is this going to best fit your needs in terms of serving your clients? And sometimes it's not exactly on point. And getting that feedback, the advisor's willingness to join together with us and to provide guidance to say, hey, you know, you're talking about doing this, but what we really need is that. And then being able to take that back and build out our investment solution with that feedback, with that collaboration. We do it on a select advisor level where we bring all the advisors together, and we also do it on an individual level. You know, part of our priority is to go out and, you know, throughout the year, talk with each and every advisor, whether they're on our platform or maybe they're thinking about joining our platform, to figure out, you know, what they need. Because the other thing that we recognize is that there may be something that makes sense for the group, but each individual advisor has their own unique way that they're serving their clients. And there may be one advisor who's serving their client a certain way, and we start to think about how we can incorporate it into our models, and there's all these other advisors who say, hey, that's fantastic, I didn't even know we could do that. And we bring it into our models, and then all of a sudden, our solution is even better.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's a really, really good point, too. And it's looking at and saying, all right, what are you doing today? Can we do that tomorrow, right? Square peg, round hole, right? We don't want to try to force folks into something that maybe they're not used to doing, force them into our models, completely rebalance them out of their existing structure today and say, hey, guess what? If you're in our program, this is what you need to use. That is not how this program works. This is fully customized into a discretionary solution where you're able to pick and choose the positions that are approved on the platform for use, right? I mean, individual equities, ETFs, mutual funds. And it starts with that risk questionnaire from the client, discussion between the client and their advisor, all the way into, okay, maybe the core equity model is appropriate for you, or maybe not. Maybe the balance model is, or maybe it's a combination of both within there.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is a recognition for the need to be able to customize. You know, it's I served clients for 18 years running my own RIA, doing asset allocation modeling and all the things that we're doing now. So one of the things that we've really sought to infuse across the asset management team is that, and we truly mean this, is that the client comes first. At the end of the day, we need to be able to best serve the clients for each of our advisors. And that involves, okay, we have all these certain accounts, but you know, there's these certain set of accounts here that have low cost basis securities. We need to be able to restrict those positions because we don't want to leave clients with tax bills unless, you know, unless they're requesting it or unless it's something we have to do in a transition of a model. We don't want to be taking on a certain type of risk in a certain account because maybe it's a household and the accounts need to be structured a certain way because they have systematic withdrawals. Each and every advisor is unique. And each and every client is unique, and we need to maintain the flexibility in our process to be able to accommodate those differences because we want to achieve those goals all across the spectrum.
So we had a question that came up from the last meeting that we had, the last podcast, where we had a chat about the operational piece, but it was more probably appropriate for this podcast, and it was how many positions – it's kind of an off-the-wall question. Yeah. How many positions are you holding within like the core equity portfolio or the equity portfolios themselves? What are you trying to dial in on with those numbers of holdings when it comes to the individual equity positions within them? And then to further that, how does the core equity model make its way into the other models of the GVA platform?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as you mentioned, there's five asset allocation categories. There's conservative, moderate, balanced, growth, and aggressive growth. And there's nine total models in there. You know, we have one conservative, two moderate, three balanced, two growth, and one aggressive growth. So there's nine models. We also have stock-only strategies that largely draw from the U.S. large cap space of the stock market. And I like to describe them as synthetic ETFs. We have a dividend equity strategy that consists of 20 individual stocks. We have a core equity strategy that consists of 30 individual stocks. And then we have a momentum equity strategy that has 20 stocks in it. And the way that we select securities in those portfolios is we use a variety of factor screens in terms of identifying characteristics of stocks that have had the demonstrated ability in those three categories to outperform their respective benchmarks over long-term periods of time, you know, to generate an alpha layer on top of what the benchmark would return. So that's really the idea. the question becomes, well, why are you building these individual stock securities and plugging them into the models like the GVA Balance 60, where a certain percentage of that account consists of the core equity strategy and the dividend equity strategy and the momentum equity strategy? The reason that we're doing that is because it enables us to provide tax management solutions throughout the years for our clients. Not only do we believe that we can add value through security selection using those factor criteria, but by owning the individual stocks, on any given month, there may be a stock inside of the portfolio that has dropped in value. Let's just say, you know, an oil stock drops in value. We can sell that oil stock, harvest a loss, gives a tax deduction to the client, and then we can buy a very similar oil company that we expect can participate in the rebound. So the structure of the portfolio in terms of its expected return, its risk management characteristics, its income generation, we can fine-tune the management on that, while at the same time, I refer to it as quasi-direct indexing, where we can be managing the tax loss harvesting within those portfolios throughout the year, and it enhances the after-tax return for the client.
Great. It's a great explanation on that, and I appreciate you answering that question. So we're actually going to wrap up here. It's been a great discussion so far. But another question that's come up, and one that I think would be fun for some of our viewers to get to know you a little bit better, is what do you like to do outside of the office? What is Eric Parnell doing on the weekends and weeknights? You tell us.
Well, I love to spend time with the family. You know, they grow up fast. But, you know, I also like to get out and run. I do a lot of running, you know, 5Ks, half marathons. I've run some marathons. One of the things I really like about it is, you know, you always hear about the runner's high and everything like that. It's always good to get out and get the fresh air. But the other thing that I love about it, too, is that when you're out for a run and you're like on mile 3 or mile 4 of the run, you're in your own headspace, and some of the best idea generation can come when you're just out in nature and you're taking in the fresh air. So, you know, I get some running in, and, you know, in addition to spending time with the family, enjoy my Philadelphia sports whenever I can get down to the stadiums, and it's, you know, try to have a good time when I can.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a little bit of a rough ride here for the Philadelphia Phillies, and so hopefully they can pick it up in the near future. But thanks again for joining us. I think this was a great, you know, recap operationally and then also talking about the models. So any last thoughts here before we kind of wrap up?
No, I would just say the last thing is that at the end of the day, you know, it's not about the models that we build. It's about the advisors and the clients that we serve. And if we're serving the advisors and the clients the best way that we can, that'll enable us to have the best models that we can in order to achieve that goal. So that's really, that's part of our mission.
Spot on. So thanks again for joining.
All right. Thanks, James.
The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.